This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Louisiana Congressman John Fleming, who is also a practicing physician. He is now just beginning his second term as a Republican congressman from Louisiana's 4th Congressional District. We want to get his thoughts on what he hopes and expects to hear from President Obama in the State of the Union address and what he hopes the Republican-led House accomplishes in the months ahead. And, sir, it's great to have you with us again.
Thank you, Greg. It's always a pleasure to be with you on radio.
Thank you, sir, very much. And you've been to a few of these joint session speeches now, this one with a little bit of a different tone, which we'll talk about in a moment. But in terms of what you actually expect the president to hear, and now with, of course, your party in control of one of the chambers, what do you expect to be the overarching theme? What do you hope it is?
I think, Greg, that the president is going to talk about jobs and the economy. Of course, we have been urging him to talk about the jobs and the economy for the last 2 years while Congress has been, and he's been signing into law, such things as the Obamacare bill, certainly the Financial Services Reform Act, which adds a lot of regulations, and certainly the attempt to pass cap and trade. So we're glad that he's turning his attention to that. And he's also toned down his rhetoric that's been anti-business. So we hope and certainly pray that the president is coming around to seeing things our way, and that is that we need to allow businesses to do what they do best, entrepreneurs to do what they do best, so that jobs in America will thrive once again.
One of the things we're hearing is that there will be another call to invest in American jobs, and a lot of folks interpret that as saying that there'll be additional spending at a time when obviously fiscal restraint is a major concern of voters as they expressed their will last year. So what do you think would make sense in terms of any additional spending for job creation, and where do you draw the line and say this is far enough?
Well, Greg, where has spending gotten us thus far? If spending $1 trillion on a stimulus and then many other stimulus bills, cash for clunkers, I mean, the list goes on and on and on, bailouts. And we're still in the 9.4 range of unemployment. I think if there's any message at all to Americans out there that we need less spending from Washington, we need less government intrusion, we need less intrusion into the lives vis-a-vis health care, and we need a whole lot less regulations. You know, the president made mention of the fact that he thinks we need to go back and pull back on some regulations. But just the very moment he's saying that, we've got bureaucrats writing 100,000 pages of new regulations for Obamacare, financial services, EPA, which has got double the budget it had 2 years ago, going after everyone from farmers to small business owners to petroleum industries. So, again, it all depends on which Mr. Obama we're talking about, the President Obama, who does one thing, or candidate Obama, who says something entirely different.
One of the things we're also hearing is that the president will call for a ban on earmarks. He wants to freeze non-defense discretionary spending, or at least a big chunk of it, freeze federal wages, at least for a while where they are right now. Does this sound to you like the start of an earnest effort to get serious about government spending, or is this window dressing?
Well, I don't know if the president's going to propose that. I will say that the Republican Study Committee, which is 167 members strong on the House side, on the Republican House side, came out with a $2.5 trillion savings over 10 years by doing very specific cuts in that way, which is a 15% reduction in the workforce of federal workers by attrition only. Not by laying or firing people off, a freeze in wages for federal workers, including members of Congress and the president, for 5 years. That would be a very good start, and I hope the president's coming on board with this.
You mentioned the health care bill that obviously you were opposed to last year, and you joined us a number of times to explain why. One of the things you've been a leader on, even before your party regained the majority, was this effort to defund it. Most Republicans anticipate that obviously between a Democratic Senate and a Democratic president, the repeal itself may not get through. How committed are Republicans right now to defunding it through the appropriations process, and how do you expect that to play out?
Well, very much so. I authored H.R. 38, which would remove the $1 billion that was set aside under Obamacare for the administrative implementation of the bill. That would stop at coal in its tracks, and there are other bills that would automatically defund it completely. Our Appropriations Committee is working on pulling out parts that would do that. So we're really picking this thing apart, and obviously without the Senate to go along with this, that's going to be an uphill battle. But at the end of the day, Greg, this is a matter for the American people. Public opinion will determine where we go with this, and if the Americans continue to be behind us in our force towards repealing Obamacare, it will happen either sooner or later, either through the ballot box where we replace senators and maybe even a president, or we'll force those on the other side of the aisle who so far have continued to support Obamacare.
Perhaps the second biggest headline tonight, in addition to what actually will be contained within the speech, is this sitting together of the parties. Obviously, in the wake of the shooting of Congresswoman Giffords, there's been an effort towards a civility. Some people say this is exactly what's needed, and perhaps common ground can be found. Others say the fundamental differences between the two parties are so strong and so fundamental that just being a little more collegial to each other won't actually accomplish much in terms of policy. What's your sense on all that?
Well, Greg, collegiality never hurts, certainly. I think at least in the 2 years I've been here, folks are as nice to each other as they've ever been. But if you look inside of Congress today, you see that we have a what's left of the Democrats in the House are mainly the very left Democrats, and what you have on the Republican side is a much more conservative and larger conservative group. For instance, the RSC committee, which is the more conservative Republicans, it's never been over about 100 in that committee, and now it's 167. So I would say that the divide is larger than ever on an ideological basis, and it appears that America being center-right is much more in our court than theirs, and we would hope that they would give up on, they being the other side of the aisle, would give up on some of their left-wing ideology and come on board and be much more moderate and work with us.
Last 30 seconds with Louisiana Congressman John Fleming. And Congressman, any insights on what we might hear from Congressman Ryan and the Republican response tonight, or anything in particular you really hope he says?
Well, Congressman Ryan is a brilliant member of Congress, knows more about the budget process than probably anyone in this country, understands it better, and he really articulates it so well. I think he'll do a great job to get past the smoke and mirrors and the shell games that are likely to come up in the president's speech. The president, of course, is very articulate as well, but he does tend to shade things and spin things a bit, and I think Congressman Ryan will clarify that for the American people.
Well, we look forward to both tonight, and sir, it's always a great pleasure to have you with us. We look forward to speaking with you again as some of these major debates move forward.
Thank you so much, Greg. Great to be with you.
Thank you, sir. Louisiana Congressman and Dr. John Fleming represents his state's 4th Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.